Good morning. How many were surprised at all the snow we got? I thought it was only supposed to be like a couple inches, maybe a dusting, and it wasn't. So I was shoveling off two cars yesterday. We went out and I came back and I had to shovel off another car again. So that's all fun. But it's the time of the year that we're in, as Rich was just saying, the Christmas season. Comes with many things. Comes with snow. Comes with holiday music. Comes with decorations, Christmas trees, presents, all those types of things. But as we're focusing on the Christmas season here, one thing that's going to be a prevailing theme throughout the next few weeks is the fact that this season is when we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Amen? So we're kind of doing a series. We started last week. Brian started a series called Family Tree, A Genealogy of Christmas. And we're looking at the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Brian talked last week a little bit about Abraham. We took a look at Abraham's life. And Brian challenged us and encouraged us to be a blessing, because God has blessed us. And we looked at some of the blessings that he gave Abraham and how Abraham was able to use that as well to be a blessing. So we are encouraged in this season to be a blessing to those around us, because God is blessing us in our lives as well. So today, we're going to continue that series, and we're going to be talking about Isaac. So Isaac is a son of Abraham. And excuse me. As I was looking into the life of Isaac, there's basically one full chapter on the majority of Isaac's adult life. It's chapter 26 in the book of Genesis. So we're going to go through that today. We're going to go through chunks of it at a time. We're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like in Isaac's life, and how he was faithful to God in everything that God asked him to do. So that's kind of the word of the day today is going to be faithful. You may hear me say faithfully. You may hear me say faithfulness. But the word of the day is going to be faithful. And we're going to look at how Isaac was faithful and how we can also be faithful at the same time. But before we get into our text, I want to throw out a question, throw out a couple answers to me, if you would. What does it mean to be faithful? Let your yes be yes. Let your yes be yes. Loyal. Trustworthy. Consistent. Reliable. Fantastic. These are amazing ways that we can be faithful in our lives. So take all those words we just said, and now I ask you a follow-up question. To whom or what are we usually faithful in our lives? Spouses, I heard. So for those of us who are married, husband or wife, we stand in front of family and friends, in front of God, and we vow to each other to be faithful to one another for all of our days. Work, parents, kids, students, right? Homework, school, grades, doing well. Yeah, I know, I'm going to hear that later on Wednesday. Don't worry, you guys, you're all good. Yes, all those spouses, work, our jobs, what we're called to do, if we're students, being faithful to stay on top of our homework, stay on top of our grades. So there's many ways we can be faithful, and there's many things that we can be faithful to. So we're going to be talking about this notion of being a faithful person this morning as we take a look into a little bit of Isaac's adult life. And one last question. Anybody know what part of speech? I know I'm like English lesson today. Anybody know what part of speech the word faithful is primarily? It is a noun, primarily an adjective. At least how we're going to talk about it today. because it describes who we are as a person. You can be a faithful person, or you can be an unfaithful person. I hope, as I'm remembered in years and years and years from now, once I'm gone, hopefully I'm remembered as someone who is faithful. Faithful to his family, faithful to his job, but most of all, faithful to God and what he's called me to do in my life. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. So if you would, open up to Genesis chapter 26 with me. It'll also be up on the screen. Excuse me. We're going to read through verses 1 to 33. We're not going to do it all at once. We're going to take a couple chunks, break it down, talk through it, and see what it looks like to be Isaac and what it looks like to be faithful in this time. So, ooh, that went off on me. Here we go. All right, Genesis 26, verses 1 through 3, it says this. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." So we're going to look at a couple of things throughout these passages today. We're going to look at how God blessed Isaac in his life, and then how Isaac was faithful to God in his life as well. So in my neuroses, I color-coded it for you. So whatever you see in red will be blessing, and whatever you see in yellow will be how Isaac was faithful. So I think in color. So that's what we're going to say. So here we go. Just to give you a frame of reference, here there's this town called Beer Lahai-Roi. I probably butchered that, but let's go with it. This is where Isaac, his wife Rebekah, and his two sons, Jacob and Esau, lived. So this is where Isaac lived in his adult life, down here, right? So there was a famine in this land. So he goes, "I got to get out of here. Egypt is down here," right? God told him, "Don't go to Egypt," as Abraham did when there was a famine in the land back in Abraham's time. He said, "Don't go to Egypt. Go to the land I tell you. Stay there. Live there. I will bless you." So he comes all the way up here to the land of Gerar. So that's where we are at the beginning of this passage. Further, verses 4 through 6. "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commandments, my decrees, and my instructions." This should sound very familiar. And then lastly, "So Isaac stayed in Gerar." There's our first yellow. It's one of the first ways he was faithful, is he didn't go to Egypt, but he stayed in Gerar. The king of the Philistines, we already met him, his name was Abimelech. He's going to be another kind of main character throughout the passages we're going to read today, and kind of how he interacted with Isaac in his adult life here. So, verse 3 here, God says to Isaac, "Stay in the land a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." Now, this oath to Abraham was slightly different than like the Abrahamic covenant, like the big one. This was a smaller oath. You don't have to turn here, I'll turn for you. Genesis 12, 6 and 7, this is God talking to Abraham. He says this to Abraham. He says, Abram, at this point, before he changed his name, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. This is, to give you a quick, brief background, this is the call of Abram at this point. So this is the first call that God, he's rising Abram before he changed his name to Abraham, and he's telling him to leave where he is and go to the land that I will give to you. So this is when Abraham's traveling to the land that will eventually be his. So he says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So we see here in verse 3, God says to Isaac, I will give you this land. Right now, the city of Gerar he's in is in the land of Canaan. So he said, I will fulfill my oath to Abraham. I will give this to you and your descendants, and you will live in this land, and this will be your land. So here already, God is faithful and blessing Isaac already in this moment. And Isaac goes, okay, I'm not going to go to Egypt. I'm going to stay here in Gerar. And then the other part of this is the promise, the original big promise that God gave to Abraham. I will make you your name great. You will be a father of all nations. Your descendants will be many and numerous as the stars in the heavens, right? Here and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because of Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So this is the transference of Abraham's promise. And he said, God said, Abraham, I will do it through your descendants, through your offspring. Isaac was his son, so his offspring. So here's the transference of the promise on to Isaac. And saying, you are now going to carry the promise that I gave to your father. And he obeyed me, obeyed all my commands, all my instructions, and all my decrees. So I blessed him, and I will bless you the same way if you do the same thing. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. We're going to read through verses 7 through 11. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, this is where Isaac is staying, he said, she is my sister, because he was afraid to say she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful. When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? Isaac answered him, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. Then Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the men might have well slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, anyone who harms this man or wife shall surely be put to death. And you may wonder, well, why did I put that in red? That's not God blessing him. Well, it kind of is. Because here's the king of the land saying, nobody can touch Isaac, Rebekah, or his family, or you will surely be put to death. So this is just confirmation from a different king of the Philistines of the land, of saying, Isaac is here, and he's here to stay, and no one's going to be able to touch him. When I first read this question here, what is it you have done to us? One of them might have well slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. How would Abimelech have known that? Like, well, this is another interesting point. Isaac and Abraham's life almost mirror each other in a lot of ways. So we had the famine. Abraham had one. Isaac had one. They both moved. But God said, stay in the land that your father had. And now the same thing happened to Abraham when he moved originally to the land of Gerar. In Genesis chapter 20, there's this account. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar. And there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, she is my sister. Sound familiar? Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not gone to her, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. And he goes on to say, she is the wife of a prophet, of my prophet, so send her back to him. Nothing will happen to you. So here we go. We fast forward to the same exact thing Isaac does with his wife, Rebekah. She's my sister. But Abimelech this time sees, you know, some public display of affection going on between Isaac and Rebekah. And he's going, wait a minute, they're not brother and sister. That'd be weird. They're husband and wife. Hey, I know this happened to me before, right? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on, fool me twice, shame on you, right? So he goes and he brings Isaac and says, what are you doing to us? You could have brought calamity down on me and my people because you said she was your sister instead of your wife. So instead, he says, anyone who harms this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He's experienced this before, and he's experienced the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before, because that God came to him in a dream and said, don't touch this woman or you surely will be dead and all your kingdom gone. So Abimelech knew, you know, Abimelech knew what was kind of going on here, right? He understood, I shouldn't mess with this guy. He's got a pretty powerful God going on. God came to me in a dream. Sees the same thing happen and says, listen, don't do that again, but stay here. No one harm this man, and you're good. Live here in all the lands. You can have whatever you need. So Isaac stayed. We move on. Isaac planted crops in the land the same year and reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. Isaac's continuing to be faithful. God is continuing to be faithful to his promise and blessing Isaac, just as he blessed Abraham. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Here we go. So all the wells that his father's servants, that's Abraham's servants, had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth because they were jealous of all this awesomeness and land and everything and wealth that Isaac was coming into. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar. So he moved directly away from Abimelech and just kind of moved down into the valley where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham had died, and gave them the same names his father had given them. So here he's doing, he's just being faithful. He's doing exactly what God's asked him to do. Stay there, live in the land, and for him to live, he's got to work the land. He's got to till the land, he's got to build the wells so that they have water, so that they can feed and nourish themselves and their cattle and their livestock so that they can live a prosperous life. And this is what he's doing. He's staying faithful. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, this water is ours. So he named the well Essek because they disputed with him. So he just goes on. Okay, fine. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well. Isaac's just plugging away. He's like, all right, fine. And no one quarreled over this well. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in this land. So here we go. It's just another part of blessing that God's given Isaac. He's working, he's tilling, he's dealing, and he's digging up these wells. People arguing. He's like, all right, fine, I'll just move along. All right, fine, I'll just move along. Moving along until eventually he got to the spot. No one quarreled. They found more water. I mean, how lucky is that? Every time they get a well, there's water. Probably not every time someone digs a well, they're going to find something. But Isaac, every time him and his servants dug a well, they found water. People quarrel. He's like, fine, I'll just move along. I'm here to stay. God told me to stay in this land. I'm here to stay. This is the land I basically grew up in. It's the land of my father. I'm back here now. God told me to stay, so I'm going to stay. So now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land. So Isaac continued to be faithful. Verse 17, he reopened the wells that in the Philistines' envy they stopped up. He reopened all the wells that Abraham dug, gave them all the same names, just continuing the work his father did. He faithfully continued the work that Abraham had started because God gave him the same promise. He transferred the promise onto Abraham, from Abraham onto Isaac. So he just continued the work that Abraham was doing in the land that he lived in. And then the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land. So just to give you another reference point, so here he is in Gerar, so he's coming down to the valley. So here's the well at Essek. Okay, I'm going to move on. Here's Sitna. Okay, I got quarrel, going to move on. So here's Rehoboth, where they got the well, and no one argued. So he's going to stay there, and then eventually in the next couple verses, he's going to head up to this place here, Beersheba. And the reason that's kind of important and interesting is this is where Isaac was born in Beersheba. So this is a pretty significant place for him, and it's going to continue to be a significant place for him in his adult life as well. We'll read on. From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Again, he's confirming this promise of blessing to Isaac. So what did Isaac do? Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. There they are, just digging another well. The servants probably can do it like, you know, 10 minutes flat, just digging a well. It's all they're doing, dig, 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 right? So pitched the tent, there he stayed, there his servants dug a well. So he's continuing to remain faithful. Every time God's blessing him, he's remaining faithful. Or every time he's remaining faithful, God's blessing him. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later as we apply what we're going to learn here through Isaac. But he's just continuing to be faithful. So we're going to wind up the chapter here. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar, with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. So, I mean, Abimelech's bringing his most trusted advisor, the commander of his forces, to Isaac. He's bringing all his cronies with him, and he's like saddling up to Isaac here. And Isaac goes, why have you come to me? You were hostile, and you sent me away. I was too powerful for you, so you said, get out of here. So they answered, We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. Now, why did I put this in red? Because, again, this is just so indicative of the blessing that God has given to Isaac. That, again, all those around him, this king of the Philistines, looked at Isaac and his family and all the stuff that God was giving him and saying, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us because we don't want you to kill us, right? Between us and you, let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did you no harm and always treated you well and sent you away peacefully, and now you are blessed by the Lord. So here comes Abimelech, and he's trying to, hey, Isaac, remember that time we sent you away and did you no harm because you kind of lied to us about your wife and we didn't do anything to you? And now we see that you're clearly of the Lord and he's powerful and you're powerful. So, hey, let's make a treaty that you don't do us any harm And, you know, we won't do you any harm either. Sound good? Sound good. All right, cool. Right, so this is a bit, he's just, this king of the Philistines is coming up to Isaac, this laborer who's just tilling the fields, digging the wells, staying faithful to God, just staying in the land that he grew up in his whole entire life. And he's just chilling there. And the king's coming to him and saying, hey, yo, listen, you don't do anything to me. I won't do anything to you, and we'll live peacefully. So then Isaac made the feast for them. They ate and they drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way. They went away peacefully. And that day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug, a couple verses before. They said, we found water. Huzzah! He called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. He kind of renamed it another form of Beersheba because of a revelation that God had given to him. Faithful. I mean, aside from Jesus, who we'll talk about in a little bit, Isaac, in his adult life, in this chapter 26 of the book of Genesis, is like picture perfect of someone who is just faithful. Now, was it always easy? I'm sure it wasn't always easy, okay? Obviously, we don't have every single itty-bitty detail recorded. I'm sure it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies. But even when it probably was hard, he continued to stay faithful. He continued to stay faithful. God continued to direct his steps. He said yes, and then he continued saying yes. And he continued staying faithful to where God had him, regardless of how mundane it could have been. And God continued to bless him in his life for his faithfulness. You know, later in life, Isaac actually becomes blind, right? This is how shifty, shady Jacob goes and steals his older brother's birthright, you know. So we'll talk a little bit more about Jacob next week. Scott is going to finish our series with Jacob. But Isaac becomes blind, and Jacob goes, hey, you know, puts all the hair on and the fur on and goes, hey, I'm Esau. I'm all hairy, right, because Esau was hairy. And he steals the birthright. Because Isaac was like, oh, cool, you know, I can't see, so that's my son. So it wasn't always easy for Isaac, but he continued to stay faithful. So if there's anything today that we take, you know, I'm going to talk probably for another few minutes. If there's anything that you take from today, please take this. God wants us to be faithful. Period. Exclamation part. Point. Highlight that. Circle it. Whatever you want to do. God wants us to be faithful. End of story. In whatever he has for us in our life. God wants us to be faithful. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times in my life, I play the comparison game, right? I look at my life, I look at that person's life, and I go, man, so much better off than I am. Man, they have better grades than I do. Oh, they got the promotion at that job, right? Oh, look, they have so much more money than I do, you know, and I'm comparing my life to their life, and I'm saying, man, I must not be doing enough. Or I must not be the most faithful person in the world, so I'm not getting the most things. In my brain, that's a lie that my brain tells myself, and I believe myself. You don't want to be in this brain, trust me. But what I had to come to the realization is that God doesn't want me to be faithful in that person's life. God wants me to be faithful in my life. what he has given for me to do, regardless of everyone else around me. I don't need to be worrying about how much this person has and how can I get that much, or how can I have that status, because then I make it all about me. I need to work to get there instead of staying faithful to what God has for me, for Andrew, not everybody else. And that's a trap we can kind of fall into sometimes. I would warn us against falling into that trap. I don't know if you remember, but this was Brian's challenge to us last week. What would it look like for you to say yes to God's mission? He shared about his and Angie's story, about asking him this question 5 years ago and wrestling with it and struggling with it. And saying yes to God is a fantastic thing. It's an awesome thing. But it's not something to do lightheartedly. You got to count the cost of saying yes to God. Now, it's worth it. It may be hard. It will be hard. It's worth it. But we got to count the cost. And they count the cost, and now they're here, and it's amazing. It's awesome. I love that they're here. Took a lot of pressure off of me. But I love that they're here because I love doing ministry with Brian, and it's awesome. But I want to build on this, if I may, Brian. I'm going to build on this. So Brian asked, what would it look like for you to say yes to God's mission? So say you've said yes. You said, I'm going to say yes. Here's my question. What would it look like for you to stay faithful to that mission? Saying yes is one thing, and that's an awesome place to get to. You said yes, but it's not just a one-time thing of saying yes. We have to continually say yes. Because at one time we may say no, done. We're already in our brain. We say, no, not anymore. I can't do it. Can't take it. That means we made it about us. What would it look like to stay faithful to God's mission? Isaac said yes. Isaac went back to the land he grew up in and stayed there his whole life. And continually said yes to God. Continually stayed faithful to God. You know, I kind of have some similarities to Jacob, I've realized as I was doing this. I grew up not too far from here, Fort Washington, with my parents, about 10 minutes away. And I'm 33 now, and I've been in this church since I was zero, since I was negative, right? 33 years I've been in this place. I've been in this area, Fort Washington, Hapro, Horsham, small stint in Souderton. It's not too far away. But God has me here. God had me here. In 10th grade, I said yes to what I feel God's calling in my life was to be a youth pastor. I said yes to that. So I graduated, went to college for that. I stopped saying yes because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Didn't graduate college, don't necessarily have a degree. Took a long, long, long winding road. Many, many ups and downs throughout those years. To where I am today, full-time youth pastor here, youth director here at Hope for the last 3 years. The elders took a chance on me. They said yes to God to take a chance on me. So I want to stay faithful to not only God's calling in my life, but I want to stay faithful to the elders saying yes to me. So I want to continually say yes to that mission. But I want to learn my lesson. I want to learn from Isaac, and I want to continue to say yes to that. I want to continue to stay faithful to that. So there's two things, kind of a little of equation. We did some English before, now we're going to do some math. All right. Two things, in my opinion, equal staying faithful. First is obedience. Obedience. God says go, you go. God said go to Abraham, Abraham went. went to this land. God said, don't go to Isaac. God said, stay. Isaac stayed. And you can go all throughout the Bible. There's people that listened and didn't. Most famous one, Jonah, right? God said, go. Jonah said, peace. No, thank you. I'm out. Eventually, what happened? Well, eventually he got to where God wanted him to go, didn't he? It took him a lot longer, and there was a lot harder than it should have been, but he eventually got there. But if he was obedient first, I feel he would have experienced a lot more blessing along the way, or at least he would have been open, his eyes would have been opened to God blessing him along the way. Isaac was obedient. And the second one is humbleness. Why do I say humbleness? Well, I've said it a few times already. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's obedience to God, and it's all about God. And that's how we stay faithful. Obedience to God and remembering it's all about God. It's not about me. Isaac never once complained, as far as what we see here in this chapter. Didn't complain. Kept going. He argued with people about the wells. Okay, you have it. I'll just keep going. I want to take you back to one quick, small story, but if you remember back in Isaac's younger years, he was even obedient, and he was humble, and he was faithful because his father was faithful. When God said to Abraham, take your son that I promised you were going to have, even though your wife was barren, I promised you were going to have this son. Take that son I promised you for me and for the promise I gave you, go up to Mount Moriah and go sacrifice him. What? Okay. Here we go. Abraham's taking Isaac up the mount to go sacrifice him for God. Abraham's faithful in doing this, and Isaac is walking along. He's trusting his father, and they get to where the spot's going to be, and Isaac goes, where's the goat, Dad? And Abraham just kind of looks at him, and Isaac goes, oh, okay. Build the altar, ties him down on it, takes the knife out. Right before, here comes the goat from the thicket. Faithfulness. To the point where Isaac could have been like, no, I'm out. He could have ran back down the mountain and ran away. But he said, all right, this is what God called you. Okay. So Isaac was even willing at that point, seemed willing enough to die for that. One more interesting tidbit. You guys remember what Isaac carried? What did he carry? The wood. I know another son of someone who was willing to die for his mission. I mean, his mission was to die. He carried his wood up a hill. Born a king. It's what we celebrate this season. Born a king. Died a criminal. But he said yes, and he continued to say yes to that mission. We were his mission. We were that mission. And he carried his cross to the hill. And he got nailed to that cross. He got skewered on that cross. He got made fun of on that cross. But he stayed faithful. And he said yes for you, for me. He was obedient. He was humble in all that he did. And that's Jesus. And that's who we celebrate in this season. So amidst the crazy work hours, amidst the snow, the trees, the decorations, the music, the presents, the family gatherings, Let us not forget that ultimately this is the time to celebrate the birth of a humble king that was obedient to death on a cross and the greatest acts of faithfulness that's ever been recorded in history. That was Jesus' mission. We were his mission. Isaac, his mission was just to stay in the land that he always grew up in. There's no flash. There's no big splash that Isaac made. He just stayed faithful. Stay faithful to what God has for you in your life. It may not be going off to a third world country to be a missionary. That's fantastic. And for those who are and do that, that's amazing. And that's what God has for them. But if God has for you to just stay where you are, in your workplace, at your home, where you grew up, wherever it may be, stay faithful to God in that. Because one's not better than the other. That's the comparison game we play. I'm not to be faithful for someone else's calling. I'm to be faithful for what God has called me to do in my life. So what would it look like to stay faithful in yours? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, Lord, and we just thank you so much just for you, who you are. Jesus, you came down as a baby, and your mission was me, to save me from myself and from eternal separation from my Creator. You stayed faithful to that. So I pray now the only thing that we can do to even come close to trying to repay that is to stay faithful to you and what you have called us to do in our lives today. We thank you so much for the opportunity and ability to be able to do that. We pray in your name. Amen. You can